podcasts of the WDWNT Network are made possible each and every week by listeners like you and the following fantastic sponsors. Magical Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner and is always ready to assist you in making your next trip to the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, or board the Disney Cruise Line even more magical. You book a trip to the Walt Disney World Resort between November 1st, 2009 and March 27th, 2010, you could purchase 7 nights for the price of 4 at a Disney Moderate or Deluxe Resort. For more information on this special offer and many more, visit MagicalTravel.com and book your next Disney trip today. Resales DVC is your home for Disney Vacation Club resales. Whether you're buying or selling your part in the Disney Vacation Club, Resales DVC is prepared to walk you step-by-step through the process and make sure your experience is as pleasant as possible. For pricing, availability, and more information, be sure to contact Grandma Jackie and Kin at www.resalesdvc.com or by phone at 866-544-2919 to make your vacation dreams come true.
I'm not sponging for rum. It be gold I'm after.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-hey.
There's no turning back now.
Like a grand and miraculous spaceship, our planet has sailed through the universe of time.
Put up 2, 5, and 7.
Gorgeous, yeah!
Look at the guy in the goofy mask.
That's not a mask.
Sorry, lady.
I'm sure to do better next time. It was my first flight, and I'm still getting used to my programming.
You made it. I knew you would.
Hi, hello, and welcome.
Welcome to our show.
Welcome to the WDW News Today podcast, a variety show celebrating the Walt Disney World Resort and its fans. At this time, please welcome your party host, Tom Corliss.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the WDWNT podcast. This is episode number 113 for October 5th, 2009. Kick off this week's show, we have your Walt Disney World Resort news and rumor report. In this week's report, we'll be discussing some surprising changes to the Tomorrowland Transit Authority, or TTA, at the Magic Kingdom, Disney's first official step into the wonderful world of online blogs, and information on how showing kindness in your community can earn you free admission to a Disney theme park in 2010. Following the report, we have another edition of one of our newest segments, The World's Finest. In our continuing effort to find the best of Walt Disney World in each and every category, we'll be trying to decide what is truly the best roller coaster in all of the Vacation Kingdom. So what are you waiting for? Let's celebrate another week of Walt Disney World information and fun on the WDW News Today podcast.
Every
celebrating bridging the gap between you and the world for one quarter of a decade, it's now time for this week's Walt Disney World Resort News and Rumor Report.
It's now time for this week's Walt Disney World Resort News and Rumor Report. Joining me for the short report this week, Mr. Justin Heyman.
How's it going?
And Mr. Scott Smith.
Aloha.
A small crew for short news. Let's get started. Over at the Magic Kingdom, to our surprise, the Tomorrowland Transit Authority, or TTA, at the Magic Kingdom, opened on, Friday, with completely new audio playing on speakers above the ride track and guest heads. Highlights of this new audio include a new male voice welcoming you aboard the quote-unquote highway in the sky, which I thought was the monorail. And also, this voice points out various sights and helps describe the attractions in Tomorrowland. He also refers to the ride as the People Mover at one point. As well, Stitch, Mickey, Buzz Lightyear, and Roz from Monsters Incorporated also interrupt as guests pass their corresponding establishments. So Stitch comes on for the Stitch's Great Escape attraction, Mickey comes on for his Star Trader store, Buzz for Space Ranger Spin, and of course Roz for the Laugh Floor. A female voice also comes over the speakers when the TTA vehicles enter Space Mountain, and she actually mentions that the ride is currently not in service, so she may actually be replaced when Space Mountain returns in November. And of course, all the famous lines, such as Paging Mr. Morrow, Mr. Tom Morrow, and all of the previous audio is completely gone. And of course, you're going to hear on this show a live recording of the new TTA directly after this segment, but quite a departure finally now, really tying together the current Tomorrowland story. There's a nice little description of the Epcot model now, and they actually go in depth on Carousel of Progress. A really, really nice upgrade. I'm going to miss the old spiel, but very cohesive, works really well together, and long, long awaited.
Yeah, the old one had a real classic feel to it, and I really enjoyed that. So obviously, I said before, I enjoyed that new Tomorrowland and the spiel that went with it. But this is very refreshing. It really ties together this more character-driven Tomorrowland.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, I got tired of hearing about the Tomorrowland Interplanetary Convention Center that didn't exist anymore
and
every time I passed
the greatest invention of all time, a time machine.
I wish.
So I wish. You know, making all of us cry as we pass some of our favorite Tomorrowland attractions was not fun.
Yes.
I miss the old voice, though. I think I like the old voice a little bit better. And, but it's kind of cool to hear some of the characters as you pass them. Like Tom said, it gives that more cohesive feel to our small little Tomorrowlands.
Yeah, I like Roz coming over as you're passing, telling you to move along as you're passing the Laugh Floor. That's really cool. I don't understand Stitch, though. If Stitch is this convict that, you know, is caught while we're in the pre-show for his attraction, why is he, you know, coming over the speakers yelling at us as we pass Great Escape? But, you know.
You can't question Stitch.
You know, there's not much more they can do to sabotage that attraction.
Isn't he living in Cinderella's castle now?
Yes, apparently.
And he knows his name before he met Lilo, too. So
he never meets Lilo. He stops at Walt Disney World first.
Right.
I guess even he couldn't avoid the buy four, get three free promotion.
Maybe that's where the time machine went. He stole it.
Oh, man.
But anyway, again, you're going to hear that audio right after this. And as well, probably sometime early next week, there will be a video on WDWNewsToday.com with probably a little better audio quality than what you'll hear. Now, moving beyond the parks, the Disney Parks Public Relations team really shocked the online fan community earlier this week with the introduction of its own blog site, the Disney Parks Blog. The blog already features a few posts and will feature videos, photos, and articles about the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disney Vacation Club, categorized by various topics, all under a rotating picture banner. Sounds familiar. While the blog matches the look of the Walt Disney World website, it will offer a more inside look at the Parks and Resorts division. The launch of the blog came just 24 hours before the Disney Parks division unveiled their marketing campaign for 2010. But this is really great because it's not Even though there's already a tremendous unofficial fan community out there, they're really providing some great content. And some of the bloggers there include a good friend of the Disney Pincast and us here at WDWNT, Mr. Stephen Miller, who's now the in charge of Disney trading, both pins and Vinylmation. He got to write an article about the 10th anniversary of pin trading on October 1st. Someone from the sports division at Walt Disney World has made a post. So all these different facets of the parks and resorts are really coming out and giving guests an inside look at exactly what they're up to, which is really, really great.
You know, the question was posed on our own network community forums. Kind of was our what was our reaction here at WDWNT to this, and Tom may have a different spin on this, I don't know, but some of our listeners and readers kind of felt that we were slighted by the company coming out with an official blog, and I personally feel quite the opposite. I think it's a great thing, and I think it can only complement what we do here at the WDWNT network by giving us more material to work with. And don't forget, we're still here. We're still here finding news before the company releases it to all of you as cutting edge as we possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, we're not the last thing we're worried about here. We don't make profit here anyway, so yeah, I don't know what we really have to lose here. I think this is, you know, this is fantastic. This is why there is an unofficial community, because they didn't do this. Disney never did this, and now that they are, you know, it's awesome. It's what we've been waiting for. And certainly they're not going to, you know, they're not going to go opening day to an attraction and probably, you know, take pictures of certain things or, you know. So I think there's still a very, there's a spot for us and the rest of the online community still. And I think Disney's just going to fill a nice void and actually give us a little more information to work with, which is what we want. We want a more inside view of the division and exactly what's going on.
Absolutely. This is clearly a measure of coexisting, as they showed when D23 was out. That was not the end of unofficial fan sites and stuff. It's a connection to the company that we utilize to put on our shows. You know, they don't have our opinions. Yep. They don't have the same views as we do. They have their own views, which is great. It's great to get views from people inside the company that know the inside scoop. They're making all these new stories and given us news that we can report and then offer our own opinions on. They're not going to be doing Back to the Future, you know. You only get that here.
Well, here's the best example I can give, and this should prove to everybody right now that this is not a sign that all of us unofficial websites are going anywhere. The Disney Pins website, here goes Tom with pins again. Disney Pins website started a blog, I think it was a little bit after the Disney Pincast launch, which is our pin show. It's only about Disney pin trading. And even though they started this official blog for Disney pin trading, the Pincast has been able to complement that greatly. It has not at all hurt the Pincast. I think in a lot of ways it has helped that show give official information out. So I think, you know, you're going to see the very same thing here, where you're going to see this blog come up a lot in what we talk about on the show. We'll probably mention that, you know, news comes from there quite often. And, you know, it'll complement each other, as Scott said.
There's also some really unique stuff coming out of this blog, like Vice President of Animal Programs posted something on gorillas at Animal Kingdom. Not necessarily timely in any, you know, way, shape, or form.
Information we didn't have access to, and it's really interesting.
And direct from the people who need it. It's not getting filtered necessarily, you know, at least it doesn't appear to be. And the other thing, there's a massive amount of information coming out of here. Unlike other Disney run websites, this thing is being kept up to the minute. I mean, they're really putting a lot of information out of here very quickly, and very unusual for Disney, Disney's web presence to be this up to date and this this amount of information. So I really hope it keeps up, because it's been fantastic in only the less than a week that it's been open. So,
well, it's really great. Again, over the two and a half years we've been around at WDWNT, we've seen a lot of amazing developments in the online community in general, Twitter, Facebook, and now the fact that Disney's getting involved in all these things, Twitter, Facebook, and now their own blog, it's great. It's really great. And I think we can only see better things from here on in as far as their public relations is concerned. A better relationship, certainly, between Disney and the people that care about the company.
Building a strong relationship with the fans ensures your longevity as if they needed to. But
yeah, and I think the expo, I think after the expo, and I know, again, here goes Tom still going on about the expo.
Well, but it's true. When has a company of that magnitude reached out to the fans?
They haven't.
In such an extensive way. Like, yes, they do it on smaller things. Like Hasbro does it for certain toy lines and comic people, you know, do it for, you know, comics, which is one medium, but all mediums?
But a giant conglomerate like Disney,
yeah, letting exactly.
their fans into the company like that. And now with these blogs and Twitters and Facebook accounts and all these different things, it's really great. The company's heading in a great direction now.
It shows a care for the fans, you know, more than just a source of money.
Yep.
Like, they wouldn't do that. They've certainly cemented themselves.
Although it is good for business. It's very good
Well,
for business.
Of course, you know.
But nonetheless, we're all excited. No, to answer the question Justin said some of you might have had, we're very excited about it. And final thing, very exciting, our final piece of news is probably the biggest of the week. This week on ABC's Good Morning America program, the Disney Parks announced their new promotion for all of 2010, a second year of What Will You Celebrate, subtitled Give a Day, Get a Disney Day. As was rumored, the promotion will give a free day of admission to a Walt Disney World Resort or Disneyland Resort theme park for a day of community service. Through the updated What Will You Celebrate website, beginning January 1st, guests can search for an approved volunteer opportunity in their area, get involved in their community for a day, and enjoy the reward of a day at the place where dreams come true. The campaign is aiming to give away 1 million one-day tickets for 1 million days of community service from January through December of 2010. Special note, if you are a Walt Disney World or Disneyland Resort annual pass holder or a valid multi-day ticket holder and you don't want the one-day ticket, basically, you can choose from one of the following special rewards. Either a special FastPass card for certain attractions for up to 5 additional members of your party, a collectible ear hat figurine with exclusive trading pins, or donate the free ticket to a nonprofit organization designated by Disney. 3 great options. The campaign website also finally explains why we saw so much in-park filming at Disneyland with the Muppets a few weeks ago. The Muppets are the stars of the marketing for 2010, and you'll be seeing the Jim Henson creations on a special North American tour and on nationally televised ads. The website for the tour, sponsored by Southwest Airlines, is definitely worth checking out for all the Muppet insanity and as well the free download you can currently enjoy. Soon that site is going to have more details on the tour, including dates that will run throughout the U.S., Puerto Rico, and Canada to spread the word about helping in your community. The promotion has even garnered some big-time star power beyond the beloved Muppets. Commercials are including James Denton and Terry Hatcher from Desperate Housewives. And as well, Taye Diggs is in a commercial with Miss Piggy. So you can see those commercials now on WDWNewsToday.com. And you'll probably see them, I think I've seen one of them already, on a Disney-owned television network. And that has begun already. Lots of exciting things here. This is such a fantastic idea from the company to give back and try and get 1 million people to do a day of community service and give them something in a reward for it. Really, really great. And on top of that, I know everyone here is extremely excited to see the Muppets. And the commercials, by the way, are hilarious.
They really are. It's so great that the Muppets are really getting to the forefront of this campaign, not only to bring them back into the public eye more so than they already were, but also because they're, you know, quote unquote, real. They live in our world with us. They can volunteer with us. And this campaign, personally for me, is so amazing. Disney is rewarding kindness and altruism. And, you know, if only the people who went to the expo donated one day, we could make a difference. Somebody say I'm being too optimistic. We could see a difference in people's lives.
I think this 1 million people can certainly make a difference.
We could make America better, you know.
And Canada and Puerto Rico.
We could make the world. Oh, I didn't want to say the world. I felt the world would be too much hyperbole. But the point is,
Scott Smith exaggerates this week on the WW News Today podcast.
But isn't it an exaggeration?
No,
maybe,
I don't think so.
Maybe not. We have everyone, all the Disney fans. Let's get out there and do it. And, you know, we'll get pins, you know, or a free ticket and. And we'll help people. And 1 million people doing just one day, this could be something amazing.
It's a great initiative. It certainly means more to the world than people just going on their birthday.
Yes.
One of the best things about this is exactly what Tom just said, which is that this is a campaign. Sure enough, it's a marketing campaign. I mean, there's no way to slice or dice it.
Whether or not it's going to produce money for the company is a different story. But nonetheless, it is a wonderful, wonderful
gesture.
Idea.
Still, yeah.
Well, and that's the thing is that it very well may not make a whole lot of money for them, but they're still doing it. And Disney has a lot of smart bean counters that work for them, and they know probably before a year out exactly how much money this was going to make or not make for them, and they still did it. And and my belief is that it's probably not going to make a whole lot of money for them, but they're still doing a really great thing here. And I think a bunch of us said it. We hope that they continue this even outside of the campaign. Just continue to do it for the next however many years that the parks are around, and just allow volunteers to get rewarded via the Walt Disney Company. And then, Scott, I really think that you'll see a huge difference.
Yeah, I mean, Disney, I think the Disney Volunteers Program has been around for a tremendous amount of time. I know at the Expo alone, they were doing a lot of great things. They were having guests pot plants, and they built that entire, the canned food castle?
Yes, and they were, I think, making pictures for schools. Remember,
the Walt Disney Company has a great legacy in giving back to the community. Really, our holiday charity at WDWNT is Toys for Tots. The reason behind that is Walt Disney actually created the logo for Toys for Tots and really put that organization on the map back when Walt was around. So the community involvement from the Disney Company is a longstanding tradition, and this is a fantastic idea in continuing that tradition.
There's not enough good things that you're right. It's the power, the backing of Disney and the might that Disney has as a company, plus the feelings that it produces in people, plus, people wanting to reach out and help other people. This could make a difference in a lot of people's lives. And that alone, in my opinion, money or no, this might not, maybe this will not make the money, probably won't. But think of how much good this could do. Kudos. Let's get out there and roll up our sleeves. Let's do it.
Absolutely. And I know we're already talking here at WDWNT trying to get a lot of us together to do one day all together and maybe even invite some of our audience that might be in the area to come join us. So we'll let you know more about that as we get closer to 2010 and this promotion gets rolling. But definitely we're excited to get involved as well. And even if you're not near us, we invite you to get involved as well in 2010. And again, WDW News Today will keep you posted on updates as to when you can start checking out those approved charities and community service organizations you could help out to get your free gift. Because nonetheless, there is a reward involved. I think we mentioned that. So whether you want a one-day ticket or whatever, there is a reward involved, and you should take advantage of it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to wrap up this week's Walt Disney World Resort News and Rumor Report. As promised in the news and rumor report, what you are going to hear now is a live recording of the new audio spiels on the Tomorrowland Transit Authority, or TTA, at the Magic Kingdom. This audio was taken just a few days ago by our own WDWNT reporter, Mr. Brandon Struve. And just a few notes about the audio. Number one, when the TTA vehicle makes its way into Space Mountain, you're going to hear some very squeaky noises. That is simply coming from the TTA trains going through Space Mountain. We know it wasn't that squeaky before, but nonetheless, it is now. So that's what you're hearing at that point in the recording. As well, at the very end of the recording, what you're going to hear is a farewell from the new narrator saying that this is a mode of transportation that never stops. And something rather comical is going to happen right after he finishes saying that, and I bet you can already guess what it is. So I will leave that surprise for the end of the audio, but nonetheless, we're now going to present the new Tomorrowland Transit Authority at the Magic Kingdom.
Welcome aboard the Tomorrowland Transit Authority. You're flying a near-free highway in the Alaska, Scott. We invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy your Grand Circle tour tomorrow. Along the way, you can preview many of the exciting places you want to be sure to enjoy today while visiting this land tomorrow. The People Mover is the perfect vehicle for people watching, so keep your eyes peeled. You never know who you might see. Coming up, Stitch's Great Escape, where you can report for duty as a security agent for the Galactic Federation. Your mission is to keep Experiment 626, the biggest little mischief maker in the galaxy, under control.
I don't think so!
And now, Tomorrowland Transit Authority proudly presents Progress City, Walt Disney's dream for an experimental prototype community of tomorrow. Progress City is the inspiration for Epcot, and many of its forward-thinking ideas have been realized throughout Walt Disney.
for a different high-flying adventure, not one aboard the Astro Orbiter. Pilot your own spacecraft as you take a spin around the planet and ascend to otherworldly heights. Inside this rotating theater, four families welcome you into their homes of yesterday and today, starting way back at the turn of the 20th century. First presented at the New York World's Fair, this legendary circular theater celebrates the progress that's made our lives better. It's a perfect reminder that there's always a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day.
Attention all Tomorrowland Train Authority. Attention all Tomorrowland Train Authority. For your safety, please remain seated at all times. Please remain seated at all times. Attention all Tomorrowland Train Authority. Attention all Tomorrowland Train Authority. Train Authority will start in 1 minute. The Train Authority will start in 1 minute.
Away from the doors and remain seated until they slide open automatically. Step onto the moving platform with caution and exit by stepping away from the car. Thank you. Please keep your arms away from the doors. And let me see if the key is locked in on the
Do you want to know the real best of the best? Sit back, relax, and enjoy as we try to decide what is the world's finest.
Welcome to yet another edition of The World's Finest, where we try and find the best of Walt Disney World in each and every category. This time around, you have chosen on the WDWNT Network Community Forums the world's finest roller coaster. So the best roller coaster in all of Walt Disney World. What is it? We're going to find out tonight, hopefully. Joining me for the discussion, Mr. Chris Lestraps.
Matt Paul has the greatest video of the decade.
Which one are you talking about?
I don't know.
His expo videos were quite good, so any of those.
Congrats,
the video of the decade. Yeah, they're all excellent. Go check them out. WDWNTube.com, WDWNTUBE.com. Free plug. Justin Heyman.
How's it going?
Mr. Anthony Iaculo.
Hello.
And Scott Smith.
Ni hao.
Here we go. All right, so world's finest roller coaster. So best roller coaster at Walt Disney World. Here are the options. The one and only original Space Mountain. We have the Barnstormer, which is soon to be, we believe, a Timothy Cheese coaster. Not sure yet. So days are numbered. That's all we know. Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. Rock and Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith. Primeval World, a coaster we wish days were numbered. And Expedition Everest, Legend of the Forbidden Mountain. Those are the options. Chris Lestraps, what do you got?
Well, first off, with the Barnstormer, I'm not 6 years old. So I can enjoy better thrills than that. Primeval World, I'm not,
Primeval World is on the Disneyland Railroad and Ford Magic Skyway. If you could somehow still get on that.
World, yeah, no. Rock and Roller Coaster, love the start, hate the next 20 seconds that's left of that ride afterwards. Big Thunder Mountain, I think is a classic. It's great, but still falls short. Exhibition Everest, probably one of the best technology we've seen come out of WDI. Amazing animatronic when it works, which is recently rarely. So for me, it is the very first roller coaster I ever went on, so it has a special place in my heart. Dual tracks, so you kind of have a combination of what's coming up with. To me, nothing beats Space Mountain at Walt Disney World. You just can't top it right now.
And we'll have to see if you can top it after November 21st when it reopens from refurbishment.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, we're hoping for the best. Mayor Justin Heyman, what do you got?
This was a tough one because I'm really a roller coaster fan, and of course, who else can do any of them better than Disney? But and oftentimes without making it the tallest or the fastest or the this or the that. So when I was looking through this, I had to really look for what is the culmination, in my opinion, of everything that WDI does right and everything that's right in a coaster, and that has to be Expedition Everest. And Chris, trust me, yeah, it was very close between Space and Expedition Everest.
Understandable.
Absolutely. You know, it's great coaster technology, it's great theming, it's great story, it's a fantastic audio animatronic, and though he does not work recently, you know, my hope is one day that they fix some of those issues and get him back up and running, because he is just fantastic. And when he does work, you can't beat him. So with all of those types of things combined, it has to be the Legend of the Forbidden Mountain.
Anthony Iaculo, what do you got?
I am going to go with Rock and Roller Coaster. That was actually one of the first coasters I ever rode at Walt Disney World, I am actually not a big, huge coaster person, and it took a heck of a lot for my girlfriend at the time to get me on that ride. she worked the ride, and she said, you know, come on, come on, come on, you gotta ride it. And I thought the theming was really cool, and the ride was just so much fun, even for somebody who, like me, doesn't like inversions, doesn't like coasters per se, but I just absolutely loved the queue, loved the theming, and how can you beat Aerosmith?
You can't. You can't do it. And funny story, since we're talking about Rock and Roller Coaster, because Tom Corliss doesn't go to any other theme parks on the planet, Rock and Roller Coaster was going to be my first roller coaster with an inversion, and I was, you know, pretty scared myself going into that, but enjoyed it immensely.
It was that was my first inversion ever on a coaster. Was going on Rock and Roller Coaster. That was the first coaster I had been on in probably about 6 or 7 years, since I went to Dorney Park in Pennsylvania with my high school class.
Ah, Dorney Park, horrible memories.
And all that was like a straight high up fast coaster.
Steel Force.
Much else. Yeah, Steel Force.
Man, I have good memory. Anyway. So moving on. And I'm sure you've been on Rock and Roller Coaster many times since then.
I went 6 times in a row.
There's the moral of the story. And speaking of the moral of the story.
Meanwhile, Scott, back at the ranch.
Scott Smith, how many of these have you been on?
I've been on all of them but one, thank you. My top pick, I'm glad to hear Chris mentioned Space. Space is an awesome one. Glad to hear it got a mention. But for my number one, it's got to be Expedition Everest. Fantastic attraction. As soon as you step in that line, you're in the story. An original story, not based on any other media. A story told from the ground up with a thrilling ride system. Excellent theming. The Yeti, which, you know, we've all said when he works, don't need to beat the dead Yeti. And
Betty the Yeti.
The best thing to me is that it's an original story that they tell so marvelously and so well while still having an amazing roller coaster. It's such a great package that, to me, hands down, it wins.
And that's from Scott, who, Scott, I think you'll agree with me, you're by no means a roller coaster person.
Nope.
That just
Can I just say, none of these roller coasters are based on a previous media? I just want to say that.
Well, Rock and Roller Coaster
is based on Aerosmith.
You could say it's more. And the Barnstormer's based on Goofy.
But they're not really based on a previous.
Yeah, they're not. They are original storytelling concepts, nonetheless. If Aerosmith is well known and Goofy's, you know, well known.
Everest though is such a complete story in a time when there wasn't a lot. This is when we get a lot of Nemo, and this is when we're getting a lot of the pirates.
In the modern
stuff.
Era where we do not get a lot of original attractions, this is the one this shining example.
And besides, that's definitely that's a big point, a very valid point. Definitely.
And plus there's a tale to this where the theming of Thunder Mountain and Space Mountain are amazing. It's not really a story per se to them. But most of all, it came at a time when there wasn't a lot of new stories coming out of Imagineering. So
you don't get a cohesive story in, you know, Space Mountain like you do in Everest.
Yeah, and Rock and Roller Coaster, while it's a pretty decent story, it's not realistic in any way, shape, or form.
No.
Nothing like the self-mockery of Primeval World.
In L.A., the highways go upside down.
I've been in a limo in L.A. We go pretty fast.
Do you go upside down?
There
were a couple
of
G's involved.
It depends. It depends on if Lindsay Lohan's driving
it. Oh, wow. Whoa. There you go.
Try getting on off the 405. You'll see.
I actually believe you sit in traffic. Unfortunately, you don't get to sit in traffic on Rock and Roller Coaster. Anyway. All right. So we've got 2 for Everest, 1 for Rock and Roller Coaster, 1 for Space. I could end it all right now, but I'm picking Space Mountain. First roller coaster I've ever been on, and, you know, I love this roller coaster. You know, I've been on the one at Disneyland, and it really is phenomenal, the upgrades there, but there's something about the original charm. Our Space Mountain has that same charm that the Matterhorn has, in that it is a Disney classic, and it's first of its kind. Matterhorn, first tubular steel roller coaster. Space Mountain, first roller coaster designed by computer and completely in the dark. Absolutely revolutionary. And, you know, there's something about that single row seating that's so cool. Especially if you're sitting in the front, with the darkness, well, when it, you know, is a little dark in there, you know, you sort of get lost in there. It's really fun. It's a little bumpy, but it's a whole lot of fun. I just love everything. I love the cue. I love the music. Of course, I believe it's called Promising Tomorrows. Great, great piece of music that we hope is still going to be there November 22nd. So much great about this. I always love Tomorrowland's always been my favorite land, and that's why I think Space Mountain is always my favorite roller coaster, my favorite e-ticket. May not have the great storytelling of a Pirates or a Haunted Mansion, but something really special about that attraction.
Well, it's something so unique, too, that having the track A and the track B.
Alpha and Omega.
You don't have that so much, and I mean, you don't have that unique experience. So, and this is the only one of all these that we've had out there that gives you that option of having that unique experience. You know, Rock and Roller Coaster, you can argue, has that because you can have different tracks playing. But that's the only other thing out there that can see what's going to be different from experience to experience.
But again, this is, I think, the only one, as old as Big Thunder might be, this is the only one of these coasters that really has that real classic Disney feel to it because it was built in the 70s, and it's a first of its kind, and it's still got that bumpiness. You know, if they replace all that track, I would be terribly upset because I think that's part of what makes our Space Mountain what it is, the original.
I totally agree.
The Matterhorn would not be the Matterhorn if you weren't getting thrown out of the bobsled.
Oh, so much fun.
Exactly. That's what it is. It's that charm. It's that old Disney charm in Space Mountain and the Matterhorn that make them what they are.
And I think so many people from kind of our generation and a little bit younger, a little bit older, the first roller coaster they ever went on was Space Mountain. I think that has a certain charm to so many people.
It's a rite of passage.
It really was. I mean, and now you have these so many different experiences now, which is great. But I think maybe there's that feel for us, that nostalgia, that this was the very first roller coaster we ever got to ride on.
Yep. All right, so we have a bit of a tie on our hands between Everest and Space Mountain. So it's all going to come down to the runners-up then, I believe. So what we're going to do is go around and get everyone's runners-up, and we'll see where we end up at the end of this discussion then. So, Chris, what is your runner-up for World's Finest Roller Coaster?
And I think my runner-up is kind of a surprising one. And this, you know what, probably 3-4 years ago, I wouldn't have picked this. But this is a roller coaster that has really grown on me. And to me, it gets better and better every time I ride it. For an experience, it's very immersive. It's probably the longest experience of all these on the list. To me, it's the bang for your buck. You get most out of it. And you have to check out if the wildlife are still there, they've wandered off somewhere else. So to me, Big Thunder Mountain is it's the most underrated on this list. And I think you can argue it other ways. Maybe it's not the second best. I think people will always agree that it's the most underrated on this list.
It is. It really does get lost in the shuffle, especially at Disneyland, absolutely, where it's in a park where there's a tremendous amount of e-ticket offerings. Remember, we have the blessing of size, so they're spread out over 4 parks, so it doesn't get lost as much in the Magic Kingdom shuffle. But yeah, I think even just alone at the Magic Kingdom, terribly underrated.
So, and there's, to me, it's just, it has become a classic. It's part of the mountain range. And Everest is definitely the added part of this mountain range, but it's at Animal Kingdom. There's something about having the 3 mountain range at the Magic Kingdom. So I think Everest is just barely not there for me, and Big Thunder Mountain comes in.
Mayor Justin Heyman, what do you got?
I'm going to get to that in a second. I just have a question for Chris since I'm here. You're talking about Big Thunder being an immersive experience, and I do agree with you. I think it's underrated, and I'm not going to take anything away from it. But
well, things are about to get ugly.
How... Tom knows where I'm headed with this. How could you? I just don't see how you can say Big Thunder has a more fleshed out immersive experience than Expedition Everest. I need to ask the question.
I think that's a totally valid question. And I think, honestly, my answer is I don't know if it does. But to me, there's the nostalgia and classic aspect of Big Thunder Mountain.
I think it's the same charm that made me and Chris pick Space over Everest.
But I also think, if I can go to bat for Chris here for a little bit, I think you couldn't have Expedition Everest without Thunder Mountain. They have a very similar Expedition feel to them.
That's fine, but we're asking, what is the world's finest?
Yes, but I think it holds up with that theme.
Oh, that's fine. I'm just trying to put things in perspective.
I also think, to me, there's an element. I have a big nostalgia for history and American history in general, And Big Thunder Mountain, this is, this is the Old West. This used to define America. The frontier used to define America. And it, to me, Big Thunder Mountain totally epitomizes Frontierland more than any other attraction out there.
Yeah.
Expedition Everest is an adventure into the mythical. I mean, maybe there's someone out there that believes it, but there's no such thing as the Yeti. That doesn't exist.
I don't know. That's debatable. It is. I think Animal Kingdom does a tremendous job of making the Yeti a believable creature, especially that ride. So.
And I think the backstory to Expedition Everest and the town and the mountain being real, and I mean, all those things lend themselves to a more realistic experience. Now, mind you, you're probably not going to be in a train that runs away and the track gets torn up in front of you.
It gets torn up just in a way that sends you backwards.
Just
on a totally different track.
It just happened to be there.
The Yeti works. The Yeti smelts steel in his off time.
He's got a little foundry with
He's got the big metal mask he pulls over his
little welding mask.
He's got to make a living somehow.
Yes, it has to keep busy.
I got to keep shoeing the horses.
But all right. Well, I mean, at least you have some justification there, because I would agree with everything you said. I don't really have much to combat it with. But my runner-up would have to be Chris and Tom's first place winner, which is Space Mountain, and that is for the exact reasons that they said, that the nostalgia, the technology that went to that ride into 1971 has to be recognized in some way, shape, or form. Development.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Development was well in development, because
even before 71,
the idea came from Walt, so it definitely predates 1966 at that.
Yeah, but the technology started in the early 70s, let's say, deployed in 75, as Tom corrected me, but that time frame, what they did with that attraction and how they constructed that attraction is just unmatched for its time, and that alone. To me, as somebody who's into technology, it almost tipped the scales above Expedition Everest. It's definitely a tried and true ride and has held up over time. And for all the reasons that Chris and Tom have already said, it is my runner-up as well.
And Space Mountain takes the lead, but let's see how long it can hold it. Anthony Akula, what's your runner-up?
I got to go with Expedition Everest for this one.
Ooh, didn't last long.
Unbelievable theming. Definitely a very, very, very cool ride. And as everybody said, when the Yeti works, the Yeti works. And it is a mind-blowing experience if you get to ever see the Yeti in full, like, full A mode, as it's called. Where
a la mode.
where he has his whole full range of movement. Really, really looks like he's going to pick your car up and throw you across Animal Kingdom. There's very little in my mind that can beat that. While I still find all the other coasters a lot of fun, like Big Thunder and Space, you really can't beat the theming and the experience you get on Expedition Everest.
Betty the Yeti, your fastest transportation to Festival of the Lion King.
Blah!
And you're right in the theater. Scott Smith, what you got?
Wow, that's a funny image. For my runner-up, I got to go with what Chris said. It's an attraction that gets so underrated. Big Thunder Mountain, to me, is such a fun ride, even when compared to the bigger coasters. Sitting in the back and getting that whip effect, oh, it's so much fun. And like how you guys were crediting Space Mountain for being sort of revolutionary in technology, I got to credit Thunder Mountain with being sort of revolutionary and giving a roller coaster very excellent theming. And like I said, I kind of considered it sort of a proto-Everest. They're both, expeditions into a mountain, into a sort of wildlife. I mean, we don't really see a lot of wildlife in Everest, but the ones we do see is huge.
Used to see a bird.
Yeah, we used to see a bird too. But it's such an excellent theme on a roller coaster. It's not just a steal and throw you around roller coaster. It actually has
I don't
you
think
in a
any
universe.
Of these, other than maybe Primeval Whirl, are a, steal, throw you around.
Yeah, but Thunder Mountain, to me, just sticks out as such an icon again, like Chris was saying, Chris pretty much covered the gambit, but I got to give props for Thunder Mountain. I feel it gets too forgotten sometimes.
I will add to what Scott said, and if you really want to see cool theming, something not a lot of people might know about is to ride Big Thunder Mountain actually at night.
Oh,
when the
so
theming
awesome.
Is completely different. Like Absolutely. When you go past the saloon, there's burlesque dancers.
There's people inside,
in the window
yes.
doing yeah. like the can.
I think that's, you could say that for any outdoor attraction, regardless how mediocre some of the outdoor attractions are. I think it's a very different experience at night and during the day, whatever the outdoor attraction is.
Well, they've purposefully added these things for the nighttime audience.
Yeah.
They've,
and you don't get that element, I don't think, in any of the other coasters, honestly.
No, most of them are indoor. Although, I have done Expedition Everest at night, and let me assure you, that is one of the greatest experiences I have ever had in a Disney theme park. It is phenomenal, and you see the Yeti a lot better as well because your eyes are adjusted to the night.
But it's so rare because of the hours.
It is rare, but I've done it once. It is worth a trip to Animal Kingdom if it's ever open late. It is worth every bit of the trip over to that park. All right, so I guess that leaves it all up to me. And unfortunately, Chris, I can't pick Space Mountain again. So I'm going to have to go. My runner-up is going to have to be Expedition Everest. We have built this attraction up many times on the show, and for good reason, because it is absolutely phenomenal. As we said on, I believe it's when we did the Bibbidi, the Bobbidi, and the Boo, probably the best laid out story, among the best laid out stories in Disney history, from the moment you start entering that Asia area to the moment you get on your train, the story from start to finish is absolutely phenomenal. This is Disney storytelling at its absolute best, and if there's any doubt that they can't still do it as good as they did back when Walt was around, this shows that they can. WDI is more than capable of still creating wonderful, wonderful stories, and I think you're going to see that continue, especially with the Hong Kong Disneyland expansion, where you're going to see original stories with the Grizzly Mountain coaster and Mystic Manor. Really phenomenal new ideas. They can still do it, I assure you. And Everest is one shining example that they can. And in such a beautifully themed park already, they came through again with a beautifully themed area. A wonderful, it's still an extremely thrilling coaster that even the biggest roller coaster fans will find incredibly fun. And on top of that, it is that Disney storytelling we know and we love, maybe a little bit more than the roller coaster experience. And even someone, what really tells you the story is Scott. Scott is not a roller coaster guy by any stretch of the imagination yet. He picked Expedition Everest as the world's finest on this yep. list. So that says a tremendous amount about this attraction. So as much as Space is my favorite, this is the runner-up, and we're going to have to hand this segment over to Expedition Everest.
One thing I think about Expedition Everest, it's such a marquee attraction where it is, and I think a lot of people can argue with it one way or the other, that this attraction kind of revitalized and maybe in some way saved Animal Kingdom.
Oh, this park has done phenomenal since this attraction came to being. It put Animal Kingdom is a must visit. If it wasn't before, it is a must visit on every trip to Walt Disney World.
Animal Kingdom needed something like this, and they didn't just hit it out of the park. They hit it so far out of the park that it hit Magic Kingdom from where they were batting. Like, yeah. I mean, this was just a great hit for them.
Absolutely.
It really was.
Absolutely.
It took what some people considered, you know, a half-day park and just breathed new life in it.
You know, it might still be a half-day park, but I think for everyone it is. You know, some people might have said, oh, we did Animal Kingdom last time, let's skip. But I think because of Everest, it makes people go to Animal Kingdom more often. Absolutely.
The ball that they were hitting wasn't actually a ball, too. It was a car filled with guests. And the bat was not actually a bat, but a Yeti arm.
Great.
Just wanted to straighten that out.
Thanks, Scott.
No problem.
So we have indeed decided that the world's finest roller coaster at Walt Disney World is Expedition Everest, Legend of the Forbidden Mountain.
Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like that is going to do it for episode number 113 of the WDW News Today podcast. As always, I'd like to thank you for listening. You make this show possible and worth doing each and every week. Now time for the big finish, giving you all the useful reminders you'll need to know in the coming week. To contact us with any questions, suggestions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at wdwnewstoday@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail message at 206-666-2982. Of course, you could send in anything for our WDWNT mail segment through those methods as well. Just make sure you either put, if it's an email, put it in your subject line of your email that it's for the WDWNT mail segment, or make sure you say it in the voicemail and we'll be sure to answer your question on the show. If you have not done so already, please leave us a review on iTunes. It's a great way to let everyone know that there's an enjoyable Walt Disney World podcast out there for them. Be sure to visit the WDWNT Network community forums to vote for upcoming segments and to view the show notes for this and previous episodes. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/WDWNT. As well, make me a friend on Facebook at facebook.com/WDWNT. And while over there on Facebook, do not forget to join the WDWNT Network Facebook group. WDWNT The Weekend is coming next August, and you can find out more information and sign up for the newsletter for that event at WDWNTTheWeekend.com, our first ever fan event from the Walt Disney World Resort, and we are going to have a major announcement probably in a week or so about that event. We may actually be changing the dates to coincide with a major Walt Disney World event. In order to make sure this is going to be the best event possible, and since we're still very early in the planning phases, we're going to see if we're going to move the event. We're going to figure it out, and we'll let you know for sure next week. And following next week, in the weeks to come, the next few, we're really going to start to come out with a lot of details about the various other events that are part of the weekend. So definitely want to stay tuned. Definitely want to sign up for that newsletter at the website as well. Once again, WDWNTTheWeekend.com. Coming up on next week's show, episode 114, we're going to have yet another edition of the News and Rumor Report. And the Golden Age, our most confusing segment ever, returns, and we'll be figuring out the Golden Age of Adventureland at the Magic Kingdom, all that and much more next week. And since I just previewed next week's show, that means that this week's is over, and I can end it with the corniest catchphrase in all of podcasting. That's going to do it for this week. See you all next week. See ya real soon.
Thanks for taking part in another episode of the WDW News Today podcast and celebrating news today. Please join us again next week. And remember to celebrate news today and every day throughout the WDWNT network by visiting WDWNT.com. This is Brian Summer saying goodnight and have a pleasant tomorrow.